Father God, we're tired sometimes, Father, from the things going on in our own personal lives, things going on in our families, things going on in our neighborhoods and at work and at school. And Father, we confess to you that we need you every hour, and that we do need you and your Son Jesus to reign in us. Father, we're tired of a world that's filled with brokenness and sin. We're tired of a world that's filled with violence and hatred. And Father, we long for the day when those things will be no more. We pray, Father, that Jesus comes quickly. And until then, Father, may we be filled with your Spirit, and may we be your people, and may we be salt and light in our communities and in the world. Father, thank you for this time we can spend together tonight as a family, as brothers and sisters, encouraging each other and looking to the Scriptures and knowing how you would have us to live and who you would have us to be and the life you have called us to. We pray, Father, that you continually change us and grow us and transform us through the good news of Jesus and through your Holy Spirit. We pray that you bless our time together tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, before we get started, as always, thank you for being here. I know, again, you've got stuff going on. You've got lots of busyness, and you could be in a lot of different places doing a lot of different things, and you're here. So thank you. Thank you for being here. I do have one announcement. I don't know if the slide I put... There we go. Yes, fantastic. The children's ministry needs cardboard rolls. This isn't how you normally start a Bible class, but toilet paper rolls and paper towel rolls. So if you have some extras that you could save up over the next week or so and you could bring them, there is a donation bin, a collection bin in the circle drive foyer, in that foyer over there. And if you could bring those and put those in there, they would very much appreciate that. So thank you very much for that. That's all the announcements. Okay. Last week, let's kind of review real quick. Next slide. Work is bringing order to the world in someone's service. So we've been talking about stewardship. Tonight will be the second week we talked about stewardship and being stewards of God. And we defined work, the work that we are created to do, as bringing order to the world, right? Bringing order to the world. And we're doing that work in someone's service. Now, last week we talked about the fact that we are supposed to be doing work in service to who? God, right? We're supposed to be doing work in service to God, that we are made to work and bring order to the world to the glory of God and not just for our own consumption. Like, we were not put here just to consume the world, but to bring order to the world to the glory of God. But tonight we're going to talk about the fact that we don't always bring order to the world in service of God. What if we bring order to the world in someone else's service? So that's my discussion question for you tonight. Let me throw that out for you. Other than God, who else might we bring, might we work in service of? Okay, self, absolutely, yes. So we might bring order to the world in service of me, right? Of me, of doing things that benefit me, looking out for number one and taking care of me and doing things that benefit me. Okay, yeah, so it might be self. What else? What's that? Other people, absolutely, serving other people. Other people. And sometimes that can be good in a way, right? But not as an ultimate good, right? And sometimes it can be really bad that we are ultimately in service of someone else, of a human being. What else? Kids. Okay, yeah, absolutely. Kids, yeah, absolutely. Sometimes that can become, as a parent, sometimes that can become our ultimate goal. And that isn't exactly what we were put here to do. Like, yes, we are supposed to serve our children, but ultimately they are not the ones to whom we are stewards and servants. Yeah, that's good. What else? Who else? Sorry? Job. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, like our employer, right? Yeah, our job, our career. The natural world. Yeah, absolutely. In service of the world. Yeah. Sorry?
False idols, absolutely. Absolutely. Idolatry, right? And so we can become the natural world, the idols. What Paul says in Romans chapter 1 is that ultimately we start serving the creature rather than the creator, right? The created rather than the creator, rather than the one who created all things, we start serving the things themselves, right? Yeah, absolutely. Spouse, absolutely. Absolutely. Again, an idol, I really love Tim Keller's definition of idolatry, is that idolatry is when a good thing becomes an ultimate thing. And so a spouse is a good thing. A child is a good thing. Other people are good things. A job is a good thing. Created things are good things, but they are not ultimate things. And they are not meant to be your master. And that's what happens when we start to order the world in service of another master other than the Creator God, right? What about nations and empires? What about kingdoms and kings? Can these things also become our master or the one to whom we are trying to order the world in their service? Does that happen? Yeah, absolutely. So tonight I want us to think about this idea, and that sin is the work of unfaithful stewardship. So all quarter this quarter, we're going to talk about faithful stewardship, what it looks like to be faithful stewards of God, for us to be God's servants, God's stewards, for Him to be our master, and for us to work in stewardship of Him, which means that we are ordering the world in service of God. And again, that can be everything from changing diapers to loving your spouse well, to mowing your grass, to volunteering and feeding someone, to being an accountant or painting a picture. Whatever you're doing, you're bringing order to the world, right? If you're painting a picture, you are taking paint that is just meaningless and chaotic, and then you're bringing an image to it. If you're writing a paper, you're taking letters that are just chaos, and then you're bringing order and meaning to them. If you are fixing, building a house, you're taking wood that doesn't really have any specific meaning, and then you're organizing it in such a way that it houses someone. So all the work that you're doing is in service to someone, and ultimately our service is supposed to be to God. But sin is the work of being an unfaithful steward. It's when we're supposed to be in service to God, but instead we serve ourselves or we serve someone else. Sin happens when God says, here, have this, take this, this thing, this stuff, this energy, this money, this house, this car, this wood, this land, this world, take this and manage it in my service. That's what every human being is tasked with, right? When we were born, whether we knew it or not, that is our task. That's what the creation story tells us, that human beings are tasked with taking the things that God has given us, and God says to us, manage this in my service. Order this in a way that brings glory to me. Bring this back from the brink of chaos so that people see what kind of God I am. But then sin is when we say, no, I don't think I will. I think I'll do something else with what you've given me. It's being an unfaithful steward of what God has given us. So I want us to look at three different stories tonight. You may be familiar with all three of them. You may be familiar with some of them. But Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. So after humanity is created and God makes them to work and to keep the land, to work the land, to be stewards of planet Earth, to Edenize, we talked about this last week, to Edenize the world, to spread the order of the garden to the whole world. Then we have this story, Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say? Now, we're going to come back to that idea of what God said and what God didn't say and God's voice and listening to God. We're going to come back to that a lot. But did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? In other words, the serpent comes to Eve and he says, that stingy God of yours? I mean, look at all these beautiful trees out here. All this wonderful stuff, and I can't believe, because you know, the word around the water cooler is, you know what people are saying about that God of yours. He told you that you couldn't eat from any of these trees. You poor thing. I can't believe how stingy he is and how he's keeping things back from you. Did he actually say not to eat? You shall not eat of any tree in the garden? See, he knows what he's doing, doesn't he? What's he doing? He's sowing seeds of distrust, isn't he? Sowing seeds of distrust between the steward and the master. If that's the relationship that we have here, is the master, the king, the patron, the benefactor, and the steward, the one who's supposed to work in his service, then there has to be a trusting relationship between the two, right? And so the serpent comes along and he starts to sow seeds of distrust between the two to say to the servant, your master, oh, he's so stingy. He doesn't care about you. He's holding good things back from you. He's not giving you what you deserve. He's not giving you what you should have. And of course, verse 2, and the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. I mean, yeah, you can eat of the trees, the fruit of the garden. You can eat of all of them except one. I mean, he's been incredibly generous, hasn't he? He's given you an abundance beyond what you need. We can eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that's in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, ah, you will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. See, this is a story about various voices, isn't it? About various voices. There's God's voice, and from the very beginning, God has been good and loving and generous. He's been a generous master. He's been a generous creator, a generous patron, a generous benefactor, a generous king. And then you have the voice of Satan, the voice of the devil, the voice of the serpent. And what has he been from the very beginning? Crafty and deceitful and sowing seeds of distrust. So whose voice did they listen to? Well, Eve listened to who? The serpent, right? Eve listened to the serpent. And then later, if we keep reading verse 17 of the same chapter, Adam listened to the voice of his wife. Yeah, exactly. And so when God rebukes Adam, he says, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I've commanded you. Now, it doesn't mean that he shouldn't listen to his wife. It means he shouldn't listen to his wife over God. You're the steward. He's the master. He's the king. He's in charge. He's the creator. And all of the other stuff, all of the other voices are the voices of the creation. The voice of the serpent is the voice of the creature, the voice of the created one. The voice of your wife is the voice of the created one, the creature. And you listen to the voice of the creation over the voice of the creator. You were being an unfaithful steward, an unfaithful servant. You were created to order the world, this beautiful, wonderful world that I gave you. You were to subdue it and have dominion over it, to work it, to keep it, to Edenize the world, to make the world better. You were to be my co-workers, my partners, to bring order to the world. But instead of listening to me, the only way you can be a faithful servant, a faithful steward, is listen to your master. Instead of listening to me, you listen to others. You listen to the serpent. You listen to your wife. No one listened to God. And here's the result. Corruption is the result of not listening to God. And I love this word, corruption. I think it's good on a couple different levels, isn't it? Like, on the one hand, corruption is like this decay that ruins things. Like, if your food is corrupted, it's gone bad, and that corruption spreads. And Adam and Eve, they corrupted themselves. How about, did they corrupt their marriage? What happens when God comes and rebukes them? Adam goes, well, I mean, yeah, but really it was this woman who you gave me, God. And she says, well, it was the serpent. I mean, they start blaming one another. There's friction between them. And God says, hey, your desire is going to be for your husband, but he is going to rule over you. There's going to be tension and conflict in your marriage. Not because that's what God wanted, but because that's the corruption that listening to someone else's voice brings about. When you don't listen to God, it corrupts everything. It corrupts you. It corrupts your relationship. So it corrupted them. It corrupted their marriage. It corrupted their relationship with God, obviously. It even corrupted their relationship to the land they were supposed to steward, didn't it? What was the consequence? God said, from now on, he didn't say, from now on, you have to work. That's not the consequence. They were going to work anyway. They're stewards. That's what they do. But from now on, there's going to be thorns. From now on, you're going to work by the sweat of your brow. It's going to be hard now because you've corrupted things. The fact that you didn't listen to me, the fact that you listened to another voice, it brought corruption. It brought corruption to you. It brought death to you. It brought corruption to your marriage. It brought corruption to your relationship with God. It even brought corruption to the world. So, I mean, we look around at the world today and we say, why is there so much brokenness? Why is there so much violence? Why is there so much corruption? Why is there so much hatred? Why every time do we turn on the TV, someone else is dead? Because humanity didn't listen to God. We were supposed to steward this place. But the only way you can be a good steward is to listen to your master. But we didn't listen to our master. We listen to ourselves, we listen to each other, we listen to some other human ruler, some other power, some other authority, some demonic power and authority. We listen to every other voice but the one voice we should listen to. And when we don't listen to the voice of God, we bring corruption to ourselves, to our relationships, to our relationship with God, to our relationship with each other, and even to our relationship with the earth itself. I also love this word corruption. We still use this word a lot, don't we? We talk about politicians. We talk about somebody that works at a company. If somebody is taking money from their boss, money that doesn't belong to them, we say that person is corrupt, right? If somebody's taking a bribe under the table, we say that person is corrupt. It's what happens when you're not a good steward. It's corruption, and it corrupts everything. Your job, the reason you were created, was not so you can have as much fun as you possibly can. It's not so you can be as happy as you possibly can, so that you can have as much pleasure as you possibly can. Work as little as possible and just whatever you like to do as much as possible. That's not why you were made. You were made to serve God. And the only way you can serve him and steward what he has put at your disposal, what he's put in your possession, the only way you can serve him faithfully is to listen to him. But we didn't. You didn't. I didn't. We didn't. And we're not just talking about Adam and Eve. This is the story of the fall is the story of all of us, isn't it? This is every one of our story, both collectively and personally. Every one of us chose to listen to another voice, other voices. And because we listened to other voices, we corrupted everything. Everything. There's nothing. There's nothing in this world. Even Paul says in Romans chapter 8 that everything is subject to decay. Everything has the curse on it. Everything is corrupt. Everything is dirty. And we made it dirty because we didn't listen to him. And we know that. I mean, you know that feeling emotionally, not just spiritually. Even if somebody wasn't a Christian at all, they know this. You know this, right? Somebody says, okay, I trust you. Those are powerful words, aren't they? I trust you. I trust you. Here's my car. I trust you with my car. You take it. You use it for the next year. But I'll tell you what, never, ever, ever bring somebody else in the car. Just you. You can drive it wherever you want to, but never put someone else in the car. For the next year, you can drive it wherever you want to. Just you, though. No, nobody else. And then one day you think, well, listen, my friend told me they really needed a ride, and you give them a ride. And then when your master comes to say, how's it been going? And you know what you did? I mean, you feel dirty, don't you? I betrayed him. I let him down. I did what I shouldn't have done. I corrupted my relationship with him. I corrupted the car. I corrupted the gift. And we've done that with everything. Everything. That's what sin is. Sin is being an unfaithful steward. It's working. It's working. Everything we do is working. And we work and we organize things and we bring things into order and we sort things the way we want them and we do with things the way we want to do, but not in his service, in service of some voice, and it brings corruption to everything. Look at chapter 3 and verse 23. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he was taken. The garden is this sacred space. You know what a sacred space is? We've talked about this before probably, but a sacred space is an overlap of heaven and earth. It's a place of humans, but it's also a place for God. So the temple is a sacred space. The burning bush that Moses approaches is a sacred space. It's a holy space. It's a place where God is and human beings are. It's a sacred space. The Garden of Eden was a sacred space. It was like this temple. It was a place where God was, and he walked during the cool of the day, and human beings are there. But when you sin and you don't listen to the voice of your master, when you drive too fast like that guy, You corrupt the sacred space. The word we use for that is defile it, right? And so God kicked him out of the sacred space, kicked Adam and Eve out of the sacred space. And that's our problem, isn't it? That's the story. That's the story. And the story of the Bible is this. This is how it begins. God created you to be a steward, a servant, and work for your master in faithful service. Listen to his voice and do what he tells you to do. And we didn't. And we brought corruption to that sacred space, and so therefore we were removed from it. And then, not long after that, we get this next story, Genesis chapter 6 and verse 1. When man began to multiply on the face of the land and daughters were born to them. So this story is tough, okay? To just warn you ahead of time. The sons of God saw that the daughters of man were attractive, and they took as their wives any they chose. Now, some of you are going to disagree with the take on this. I would have disagreed at one time. I've gone back and forth about what I think this means, but most scholars, I think, now think that what this story is talking about is sons of God, most often in the Old Testament, refers to angels, and that angels saw human women, and they said, we want those for ourselves. And it's very much like the story we just read, isn't it? Stewards of God, servants of God, who had a place they were supposed to be, a job they were supposed to be doing, And then they said, well, we don't want to do that. We want to do our own thing. We want to take what doesn't belong to us. In fact, Jude, this is from Jude verse 6, this is what that says. It's probably referring to this story. Angels who did not stay within the limits of their authority, God gave them up, but left the place where... did not stay within the limits of authority God gave them, but left the place where they belonged. Right? That's what these sons of God did. They did not stay within the limits of authority God gave them, but left the place where they belonged. They abandoned their stewardship. So here, again, now we have a second story about stewards of God, servants of God, who are supposed to be in a certain place doing a certain thing, and they said, we don't want to. We want to do our own thing. We want to take what you did not give us and use it for ourselves. Verse 3, then the Lord said, my spirit shall not abide in man forever, for he is flesh. His days shall be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of man, and they bore children to them. These were the mighty men who were of old, the men of renown. These Nephilim are probably giants, or they are giants, and they probably are, again, most scholars believe that this is probably the, we use this word again, corrupt offspring of these sons of God, these angels, these angelic beings, and these women. Corrupt. See, that's what happens, right? That's what happens when God's servants don't do what God tells them to do. When God's servants don't stay where they're supposed to stay and do what they're supposed to do, and they take it upon themselves to listen to someone else's voice other than God, they bring corruption. And they corrupted humanity. So there was already corruption in the world, and now there is more corruption in the world. The world is further corrupted. Now again, notice these phrases like, on the earth. Like, again, we tend to read over those types of words, like the Nephilim were on the earth in those days. But again, the earth is a character in the biblical story. Because humans were supposed to be the caretakers, the stewards of this place. But instead, we made alliances with the serpent, we made alliances with these, and we brought corruption, and we corrupted the earth. So a lot of times we like to blame God for why is all this bad stuff happening, or why do you allow all of this bad stuff to happen? The biblical story tells us why bad stuff is happening. It's because we brought corruption to the world because we didn't listen to the voice of God, and we made alliances with those who were not God. We made alliances with the powers and rulers and authorities, with the demonic powers, and we brought corruption to the world. Verse 5. Now, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great, here's that phrase again, in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. The one translation says, he was highly offended. He was highly offended. The corruption of God's stewards highly offended him. It hurt him. It embarrassed him. Why? What did he create human beings to do and to be? He created us to be his images, which means we were supposed to reflect his character in the world. And what has he revealed his character to be? Generous. And abundant and loving, and by the way, merciful. We didn't even talk about that, that God said, on the day you eat of it, you will surely die. And yet God clothed them with skins of animals and had mercy on them. So what has God shown his character to be? Merciful and generous and loving and kind. He's in charge. He's the master. He's the king. Yet he acts that way. And yet the human beings are violent and corrupt. And that doesn't reflect who he is. Our behavior is supposed to reflect our Creator. because we are his images. Just like an idol is an image of that non-existent God, we are the image of a real living God. But yet, we were not reflecting his glory and his character. We were a misrepresentation of him. So, verse 7, so the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I've created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. God regretted that he had hired these stewards, so to speak, right? I made a bad hire. Y'all are fired. All of you, you're fired. Except for one. And that one found favor in God's eyes. Now notice, what does he do? Immediately upon finding favor with God, God said, Noah, you found favor in my sight. I got a nice paradise with a hammock all picked out right on the beach. Is that what he said? He said, boy, do I have a job for you. You're going to build an ark. You're going to be a steward. You're going to steward the animals. I'm going to bring every kind of animal onto the ark, and you're going to steward them. Why? Because that's what human beings are created to do, to steward the earth to God's glory, to bring order to things in service of the one who created us. Now, one more story before we run out of time. This is from Genesis chapter 11, verse 1. Now, the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found the plain of Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Now, this is the region, the region of Shinar is the region of Babylonia. And later, we'll find the word Babel, right? We call this story the Tower of Babel. The word Babel sounds like the Hebrew word for confusion, which also sounds like the word for Babylon, right? So this is the Tower of Babylon. This is Babylonia. And there is confusion that comes from there. And this is the root and the origin of that confusion. They're working, right? They're building. They're making bricks. They're creating technology. They're working. They're organizing. They're bringing order to the world. But in whose service? In whose service are they creating? In whose service are they bringing order? Verse 4, then they said, come, let's build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for who? Ourselves. Otherwise, we'll be scattered over the face of the whole earth. This tower in Babylon, they had ziggurats that would stretched to the heavens, and the whole idea is it would be part of the temple complex. John Walton called it an executive elevator for the gods. That was the idea, that we'll build this tower and the gods can come down and go up. And the whole idea here is that the Babylonians are building a tower so that the gods can come down. And who will they have to thank for their service? Us. So we will build a name for ourselves by reaching God on our own terms, in our own way. We will make a name for ourselves. Is that how stewards behave? No. For my glory, for my name. But is that how humans behave? Is that how you behave? Is that how I behave? I want to be honored. I want to be respected. I want to be complimented. I want to have a legacy. I want to make a name for myself. That's how we all act, isn't it? And it brings corruption. Mine, 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 mine. I want to consume. I want to have my name, my glory, my reputation, my legacy, my honor, taking more and more for ourselves. Verse 5, but the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, if as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. It's the same thing that Jude said about the angels, isn't it? They didn't stay within the limits of authority God gave them. They were trying to rise above their station and make a name for themselves and take what was off limits. Now, we might read this and say, well, What's so wrong with that? Nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. But we can all understand this, can't we? Like, if there were a group of people and you knew they are corrupt to the core, they are selfish, they are greedy, and now they've come together and they have unlimited resources, that's dangerous for everybody, isn't it? And so God in his mercy says, we can't let this go on, and we have to scatter them because they would have almost unlimited destructive power. Look at verse 7. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they will not understand each other. So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. So, what do all three of those stories teach us? What do these three stories teach us about what sin is and what sin brings about? I think we could say this. When servants don't listen to their master's voice, corruption, confusion, and chaos result. Right? That's what happens. And that's what we've all brought about and what we've all participated in. We were created to be the servants of God. We were created to be God's servants, to listen to his voice and to obey him faithfully. That's what we were created to do. And none of us have done that well. And because of that, we've all participated in bringing corruption and confusion and chaos to the world. But the good news, I can't end there. You know, it would be one thing for us to just end there, but we can't end there. The good news is that Jesus steps into this world, doesn't he? And Jesus restores us to a right relationship with God. And this is what we're going to talk about for the rest of the quarter. What does that mean? To make you a servant again. Not just so I can go to heaven when I die. No. To make you a servant again. It's everything we've been talking about from the beginning of this year, that it's not just what you are saved from. You're saved from the corruption and the confusion and the chaos, but it's not just what you're saved from, it's what you're saved for. To be a servant again, to be a faithful servant again. And Jesus is eliminating the corruption and the confusion and the chaos from the world. He's setting things in order. That's what justice is. Justice is setting things back in order. Not just taking away the consequences, but restoring you to who you are supposed to be and teaching us to listen to the Father's voice. Isn't this what got us in trouble in the first place? We didn't listen to our Father's voice. We didn't listen to the Creator's voice. We didn't listen to the Master's voice. And then Jesus sets the example of being the perfect, faithful steward. Jesus is the second Adam, the new Adam, who does it right this time, and he doesn't eat the fruit. He doesn't listen to the serpent's voice. He doesn't listen to any voice except his Father, and he serves him faithfully so that now in him he can restore us so that we can also be God's faithful stewards. And so for the rest of this quarter, this is what we're going to talk about, that now that Jesus is beginning to restore us to be a new kind of humanity, the humanity we were supposed to be in the beginning, to restore us to being faithful stewards, what does that look like? And what does that mean? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for his perfect service to you, for the way that he listened to your voice, and now, Father, is teaching us to do the same. Thank you for your grace and your mercy and your love. Thank you for restoring us to being your servants and your stewards. And we pray, Father, that we will live faithfully and listen to your voice. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.